Thank you, Jonga, Kandemiri, and Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, January 5th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gandhi.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Zimbabwe clarifies its new relaxed indigenization regulations.
There are frameworks that seek to accommodate current policy positions of government with regards to the Zimbabwe agenda for sustainable socioeconomic transformation and the 10-point plan.
But former Finance Minister Tendai Biti says all this is a waste of time.
It's a lot of hot air, and it's typical of everything that ZANU-PF touches, it destroys. The original framework published by Chinamasa on the 24th of December 2015 tried to restrict the application of the 51% rule.
Irate Mashingo residents attacked the local authority for buying expensive vehicles.
I think we are very saddened with such a development that the city fathers currently took, because considering the amount that they used to purchase the vehicles, it was never budgeted for.
And combi drivers clash with police in Chitungwiza.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
The government has sought to clarify the divisive indigenization law following internal and external pressure as the country struggles to attract foreign direct investment. The government says the new indigenization regulations that allow foreign-owned companies to retain majority stakes or make other agreed indigenization plans are critical in ensuring that Zimbabwe will implement some of its economic blueprints, like the Zimbabwe Agenda for Social and Economic Transformation, or ZIMASET. We will give you more details on this issue, in which Studio 7's Blessing Zulu speaks with Indigenization Minister Patrick Juao.
These frameworks are not new. They are frameworks that seek to accommodate current policy positions of government with regards to the Zimbabwe agenda for sustainable socioeconomic transformation and the 10-point plan guidelines to enable businesses that have not yet complied with indigenization to start making efforts towards compliance in line with the pronouncement made by His Excellency the President on the 12th of December as he closed the ZANU-PF 15th National People's Conference.
But are you now singing from the same hymn book, Honorable Joao, judging from the fact that there appear to be differences on the way forward when it came to how you pronounced it and how Honorable Chinamasa was pronouncing it?
We're not only singing from the same hymn book, we're actually singing the same hymn. You will also note that as I announced those frameworks, I was in the presence of the governor of the Reserve Bank and the Minister of Finance and Economic Development. These are the people that head our institutions for financial policy and our institutions for monetary policy. As you are aware, economic policy can only be effected either through monetary policy or fiscal policy. So both arms of economic instruments were there.
Stay tuned for more details of this interview as Blessing Zulu speaks with Indigenization Minister Patrick Juao later on in the show.
Mashingo residents have expressed concern over the City Council's decision to buy luxury vehicles worth over 500,000 for top officials when the local authority cannot provide essential services like water. Our correspondent Gandri Maramba reports.
The City Council angered residents when it placed an advert in a local newspaper seeking tenders for the supply of canopies, bumpers and mega wheels at a cost of $22,000. For Mazda BT50's twin cabs bought for council management last month. The residents are fuming that they were not consulted when the council bought the vehicles, and to make matters worse, the local authority wants to spend more money on vehicle accessories when it cannot provide necessary services to local people. Tryson Gavi of Runyaroro West High Density Suburb said it is improper for the city council to seek tenders for the supply of canopies, bumper stickers and other items while it cannot cater for the needs of local ratepayers.
I think we are very saddened with such a development that the city fathers currently took, because considering the amount that they used to purchase the vehicles, it was never budgeted for and they never consulted us as residents. To add to that, they also went to fork out nearly 22,000 in buying things like canopies, which is a lot of money a city council need to prioritize.
Another resident, Jefferson Chitando of Mucheke, said the council is abusing residents' money and called on for the local authority to be accountable.
We've been always saying that the road levy, which was going to be introduced and which was introduced sometime last year by the city council, they have got to account for it and they have got to really show the people the roads which they have made.
But Masingo Mayor Hubert Fidze defended the decision, saying the council is trying to please local residents while catering for the needs of its management.
In as much as we say we prioritize on purchasing vehicles, but I think we're actually trying to balance every service delivery within the city. If you look at the way we are working on our roads, I think we are really moving in a positive way. In as much as lighting as well, water and everything, even the government is here with us.
Masingo United Residents and Red Peers Association MURA Director Anoziva Muguti said the residents' body is worried about what the council is doing.
First and all, we are very worried about the way council is expending our financial resources. By buying those luxurious cars for the top management at the expense of service delivery, that alone left us wondering what direction they want to take the residents to.
Residents have vowed to force the council to stop looking for vehicle accessories for the city council managers and concentrate on providing services for ratepayers. Reporting for Studio 7 in Masingo, I am Country Maramba.
There were running battles between commuter omnibus drivers and police in Chitungwiza today as the drivers resisted the recently introduced hefty traffic fines. Touts clashed with suspected ZANU-PF youths who were trying to force combi drivers to abandon a work stoppage, claiming the fines of up to $100 were too steep and promoting corruption in the police force. Efforts to get comment from the police were fruitless as they were not responding to calls made by Studio 7. Ward 12 Zengeza Councillor Rangarirai Mutingwende tells us that the situation in Chitungwiza is tense, with most combi drivers now hiding, fearing reprisals from the police.
The situation in my constituency is not normal right now. Yes, right now people are running in all directions because they are just fearing with their lives.
What are you, as the councillor for that area, doing to try and perhaps reach a compromise between the police and the commuter omnibus drivers?
You know, the problem here is when this war started, combi drivers and ZANU-PF youth started fighting each other. We tried our level best to negotiate with them that please let's have a dialogue on the table so that we can solve it amicably. But you know, the situation is very uncontrollable.
Were there any injuries reported following the running battles between the combi drivers and the police?
There are a lot of people who are injured, but the people, they are afraid to go and report these injuries to hospital because the hospital staff need the report from the police. Then the people are very afraid that if they go to the police, they will be arrested.
Take us through the scene that you're witnessing right now. You were talking about tear gas. What else is going on there?
Right now, we are assisting these people by telling them to go and get the treatment from the private hospitals.
And how long do you think this strike is going to last?
It will be a continuous strike because these combi drivers, they are not going to give up. They are going to continue until the situation will be back to normal.
Are there any combi drivers that we can speak to right now so we can hear their side of the story?
They are hiding somewhere.
That was Ward 12 Zengeza Councillor Rangarirai Mutingwende speaking with us from Zengeza. Meanwhile, a Chitungwiza resident, George Java, says the clashes stopped him from going to Harare to sell his wares, which will result him in failing to raise money to pay school fees for his children.
There was a commotion between the committee of Omnibus and the police during, in the morning. So we failed to go for our work in the city.
So how does that affect you personally?
Personally, it affects me because I'm looking forward to pay school fees for my children for next 2 years. The school term is about to begin. So I've been affected to look for money for the school fees for next week.
What kind of work do you do in the city?
We do buying and selling. We are vendors.
And also you were talking about today, the ones that were going to the city were charging more. How much do you normally pay day to day and how much were you asked to pay today?
Yeah, we normally pay 50 cents when we go for the pickup. And when we are going for the combis, we pay $1. But today they were charging $1.50 to $2.
That was a Chitungwiza resident George Java speaking with us in Chitungwiza.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 meter wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up,
Indigenization Minister Patrick Juwawo spells out Zimbabwe's new indigenization regulations.
And are elephants sold in Asia benefiting Zimbabwe? Stay tuned for more details.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
President Barack Obama today addressed Americans about the use of guns in the country, saying innocent people are being killed while the country is capable of addressing the issue. He said not all shootings associated with illegally possessed guns can be stopped, but it's possible to block some.
We are the only advanced country on earth that sees this kind of mass violence erupt with this kind of frequency. It doesn't happen in other advanced countries. It's not even close. And as I've said before, somehow we become numb to it and we start thinking that this is normal. And instead of thinking about how to solve the problem, this has become one of our most polarized partisan debates, despite the fact that there's a general consensus in America about what needs to be done. And that's part of the reason why on Thursday I'm going to hold a town hall meeting in Virginia on gun violence. Because my goal here is to bring good people on both sides of this issue together for an open discussion. I'm not on the ballot again. I'm not looking to score some points. I think we can disagree without impugning other people's motives or without being disagreeable. We don't need to be talking past one another, but we do have to feel a sense of urgency about it. In Dr. King's words, we need to feel the fierce urgency of now because people are dying. And the constant excuses for inaction no longer do, no longer suffice. That's why we're here today. Not to debate the last mass shooting, but to do something to try to prevent the next one.
That was United States President Barack Obama.
U.S. stocks were little changed in today's trading, one day after a drastic plunge in China's stock market sparked investor worries and falling prices around the world.
And peace talks between Burundi's government and opposition groups have been postponed, with no word on when they may resume.
You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We're broadcasting to you on the 909 medium wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies.
As mentioned earlier on, Zimbabwe is seeking to clarify the divisive indigenization law following internal and external pressure as the country struggles to attract foreign investors. Under Zimbabwean law, foreign and white-owned companies with assets of more than $500,000 must cede or sell a 51% stake to Black Nationals or the country's National Economic Empowerment Board. On Monday, Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa and Indigenization Minister Patrick Juao, who had been clashing on the implementation of the law, addressed a joint press conference to introduce new measures and put a March 31st deadline for all foreign companies to submit their indigenization plans. The government has also introduced an empowerment levy, with companies that have a large foreign shareholding paying a greater amount. The new guidelines outline reserved areas for investment by locals, and these include retail, agriculture, bakeries, advertising agencies, cigarette manufacturing, milk processing, and fuel retailing, among others.
The government has also backed down from its earlier position, which rejected empowerment credits and corporate social responsibility as part of the measures through which to achieve Black empowerment. In the resource-based sectors like mining, government has said there is no compromise, as state entities are entitled to get a 51% stake. In an exclusive interview with VOA Studio 7, Juao first talks about indigenization compliance levels.
Let's talk about the compliance level. How is it?
The compliance levels, as you are aware, the legislation requires for assessment ratings. And we still have to get figures on assessment ratings. So we'll be looking at that. But what we are concerned about is that there's been some sectors where compliance levels are not as we would want them to be. And this is where the president has said that we want to make sure that we get compliance. And if you look at the frameworks, I do acknowledge that there's been rampant non-compliance with the legislation.
Talk briefly about the issue of government-designated entities continuing to acquire 51% in businesses exploiting natural resources.
That one is a very simple premise. Natural resources are God-given, and they're given to all the people of Zimbabwe. And because they're given to all the people of Zimbabwe, in order to reflect broad-based objectives of government empowerment policy, the 51% equity that will be acquired by indigenous entities will be acquired by designated entities. And designated entities are entities that reflect broad ownership of resources. It is a government position that natural resources should never be appropriated by any single individual, because they are a God-given resource for the benefit of all Zimbabweans.
The issue of the empowerment levy, some are saying maybe because the economy is not performing that well, it might be prudent to suspend it until a later stage.
It is never prudent to allow anybody to break the law at whatever stage. The levy, and if you take notice of it, it is an indigenization compliance and empowerment levy. It is designed to ensure compliance. And therefore, it would be rather foolish for any government to turn around and condone illegality at any stage. So we will not condone companies that do not recognize the law of the land.
And what happens to companies that would not have submitted their indigenization plans as required by the law by the 31st of March?
Well, obviously we will be putting in place a levy. And the levy will enable us to effectively punish those entities from a monetary perspective. But we still have other measures within the Act that allow for the cancellation of the license. So if those companies continue to not respect the laws of the land, then we have no option but to ask them to stop operating in Zimbabwe.
And what will be your response to those who are saying maybe the indigenization law is scaring away investors?
My response is that those people are ill-informed, at best ignorant probably, because there is indigenization legislation in most countries. And on top of which, you guys as the Americans have imposed sanctions on this country. And, some entities in America cannot even interact with banks in Zimbabwe. So business entities in America are actually being scared away by sanctions.
That was Patrick Zhuwao, Zimbabwe's Indigenization Minister, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Blessing Zulu also reached former Finance Minister Tendai Biti, who is also president of the opposition People's Democratic Party, who dismissed the gazetted regulations as hot air aimed at hoodwinking the International Monetary Fund. Last year, IMF head of delegation to Harare, Dominika Faniza, said Zimbabwe will need to clarify its indigenization law as a means of unlocking investments in the Southern African nation. He said, quote, "Clarifying indigenization and empowerment laws is a key measure that Zimbabwean authorities intend to take." He said the move would help allay investor concerns about the security of investments and property rights in Zimbabwe. Biti says Harare must amend the act, not introduce cosmetic regulations.
It's a lot of hot air, and it's typical of everything that ZANU-PF touches, it destroys. Number one, the key thing that drives indigenization in Zimbabwe is the Indigenization and Economic Empowerment Act, Chapter 14:33. And that section has got a section which is very clear, and that is Section 31A of the Act. And this says that all companies in Zimbabwe, at least 51%, should be held by indigenous people. So that section has not been repealed. So you can't put makeup or try to panel beat or try to mitigate this provision. The original framework published by Chinamasa on the 24th of December 2015 tried to restrict the application of the 51% rule to resources like minerals, land, and so forth, but not other sectors of the economy like technology and so forth. But that doesn't work unless you have repealed Section 3 of the Indigenization and Economic Empowerment Act. The second challenge is that you now have, and of course this is allowed by the Act, the proposed imposition of this empowerment levy by Patrick Chinamasa and Patrick Zhuwao. This is crazy in that this economy is overtaxed. This economy is in a recession. Companies are shutting down because they can't bear the weight of cost overruns. So to add an additional tax in the form of an empowerment levy is just crippling the remaining companies. And I can assure you that many companies, many individuals would rather shut down than pay this additional levy. Then sadly, if you listen to Mugabe's closing remarks at their ZANU-PF show in Victoria Falls on the 15th of December, he made it clear that there had to be compliance with the 51% rule by the 31st of December 2015. What Chinamasa and Zhuwao have done is to seek to extend that to the 31st or to the 30th of March 2016. Now, you can extend even to December. It doesn't change a thing. What is key is that the indigenization infrastructure of ZANU-PF is a false model.
Why is there no appetite from ZANU-PF to at least repeal this law or make some changes to the act if it is more than two-thirds majority in parliament?
Well, you go back again to Mugabe. This is a baby of Mugabe. Mugabe says in the closing speech that I have spoken of, that we were elected on the basis of indigenization. And therefore, the population out there expect us to implement this act. So we have to fulfill our election manifesto. And he says that very, very clearly. I also referred you to his statement on the 22nd of August 2013 on his inauguration, where he also made it clear that empowerment was the centerpiece, to use his language, the centerpiece of their development endeavors. He doesn't know that he's cutting his nose to spite his face.
That was Tendai Biti, president of the opposition People's Democratic Party and former finance minister, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
The MDC formation led by former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai says it condemns reports that the government will soon export more elephants to China in an effort to deal with the oversized population. Spokesman Obed Gutu says the government should not destroy Zimbabwe's heritage at the same time when some allegedly corrupt officials line their pockets. Gutu was reacting to reports quoting Environment Minister Opamuchinguri Kashiri, who is currently in China, as having said they were going to increase the number of elephants exported to China as they were doing a good job in looking after those that they already have in that country. Environmental Permanent Secretary Prince Mupajiriho declined to comment, saying he only heard about this issue in the press. But Gutu tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri that Zimbabwe has enough land to accommodate its wildlife rather than sell it off to China.
The MDC is utterly and completely shocked and disgusted by this plan by the ZANU-PF government to illegally export wildlife such as elephants, lions, monkeys, and even baboons to China. We know that they are doing this just to line the pockets of a few well-connected individuals within the ZANU-PF regime. We know that the Chinese, with respect, have been at the forefront of poaching our wildlife in Zimbabwe. We also know that they are hugely connected to the indiscriminate and unlawful poaching of the black and white rhino in Zimbabwe, to such an extent that only 300 rhino are left in the country.
But the minister is quoted in the media saying that Zimbabwe is struggling with an oversized population of the elephants.
That is a blue lie, blue unmitigated lie from Honorable Minister Opamuchinguri Kashiri. If you go to Wange National Park today, it might take you 2 to 3 hours before you spot an elephant. If you go to the Matusadona National Park in Kariba, as well as to the Victoria Falls National Park, it might take you the whole day before you spot a single elephant. That clearly shows that the population elephant in this country is dwindling, largely because of the rampant poaching done by these friends of ZANU-PF from the Far East.
That was MDCT spokesman Obed Gutu speaking with Studio 7's Jonga Kanzemiri from Harare.
Meanwhile, the Chinese government has denied involvement of poaching of the country's wildlife. Last year, China gave Zimbabwe resources in the form of vehicles, tents and flashlights to help fight poachers in Hwange National Park and Manapools.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host of the Youth Connection will be talking with listeners and experts about the role of social media in Zimbabwe.
To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you right back from our studios.
Now to recap on today's top stories.
Zimbabwe clarifies its new relaxed indigenization regulations, saying they are designed to promote internal growth.
But former Finance Minister Tendai Biti says all this is a waste of time.
Irate Maswingo residents attack the local authority for buying expensive vehicles.
And combi drivers and police clash in Chitungwiza.
That's our broadcast this evening. Join us at 7 every evening for news in 3 languages and visit us on the internet at www.studio7news.com for more on our top stories.
Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington.
And I'm Chris Gande wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good evening. That's our broadcast this evening.